Well, good evening. Are we online? Good evening, everybody. One thing I keep we keep kind of forgetting, and I remember Barry doing this, is, and Jerry does it every Sunday too. Does anybody want to give their testimony? It's always exciting to hear one. But if nobody wants to, that's fine too.
Good practice for Chattanooga.
Mm.
I ain't doing it.
You ain't doing it?
Come on. I've done it 2 times in a row now.
Shoot, you did it the very first year you were saved. Okay. I don't know if you guys remember the other, one of the other times I taught, I did the ABCs. I want to kind of follow through with that.
Carrie's so stressed out.
I want to kind of follow through with that. I found a whole lot more about it, and I thought it'd be good just to kind of keep going. So it's kind of the I am's of being saved. Turn to Galatians 4. Verse 5. I am redeemed. And actually, let's start with chapter 3, verse 13 first. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And Galatians 4:5 says, let's actually read more than 5. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, Christ sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I'm complete in him, Colossians 2. Verse 10. Man, I can't even find chapter 2. There it is. Didn't seem to look right. The first one was Galatians 4, 5, and also Galatians 3, 13. And now we're in Colossians 2, verse 10. We are complete in him. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom ye also are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. We are complete. I love that. That noun is a present tense noun. I mean verb. Sorry. We're called to be a saint. Romans 1. I know there ain't no saints in here. Sometimes, you know, when you think about yourself and the crap you go through and the tough days and the tough times, I thought it's kind of fun to read this and see what you are spiritually. It is so awesome. Kind of takes away that. We'll get to that point a little later. Romans 1, verse 7. We're called to be a saint. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said that to quite a few of the different churches. I went through, there's a whole lot of different verses say the same thing about being saints to the church of Colossae and the Corinthian church and that kind of stuff. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. So we know we got a full-time job. We're called to be saints. The people of the flesh would say, oh, yeah, see. But, okay, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10.
First,
no, second, I'm sorry.
I thought it was at second. I was at first time.
I thought it was going back.
2 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. Oh, chapter 2, verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be married in all of them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. We are saints. Okay, I'm accepted in the beloved. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. The word hath, that's a possessive verb, I think. I'm not an English teacher. Okay, we are more than conquerors. Romans chapter 8. Did I not read a important verse?
It's a different point, but you almost have to make it a point.
Where will we at? Romans 8?
No, Ephesians.
Ephesians 9 says, having made Romans as the ministry.
There you go, see.
According to his pleasure, which he hath purposed in it.
It is. It's very. Sometimes it's hard to know where to stop with all these because you could just keep read them all. Like Barry said, they're all good. Okay, I am more than a conqueror. Romans chapter 8. You know, today I was studying and I hate when I have a brain lapse. For the life of me, I couldn't remember where the mystery was found. And I just finally found it. It's crazy. Normally I have that in my head, but not today. I'm more than a conqueror. Romans 8, verse 37. How have we got it going on upstairs, Carlton? Have we got it going on? Okay.
I wasn't
That was a... Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The key thing to that whole thing is in verse 37 is conquerors through him that loved us. It's not about being a good person or doing all kinds of good things. It's through Christ. Because if we try it on our own, it ain't going to happen. I am an ambassador for Christ. Ephesians chapter 6. This numb thumb of mine just does not work. Ephesians 6 verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I know Paul is talking about himself. He was in prison at this time. But we're also ambassadors because we're called to preach. I'm justified freely by his grace. Romans chapter 3. Tell you, when we get through this list, our fleshly problems get a little smaller. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Actually, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Justified freely by his grace. I'm looking for that blessed hope, Titus chapter 2. And quite frankly, this could happen any day. I wished it would. Titus 2 verse 13. Let's start at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And that verse there takes away anybody that has the idea that there's only a couple chosen few. Like those guys down in Nashville. crazy guys.
The guys that were teaching on the street. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're Calvinistic in their views. Very strong. Took us to John. We couldn't even find it in the King James Bible, the verse they used, because the word that he used wasn't in the King James Bible. But yeah, he was pretty messed up. Anyway, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I am the temple of the living God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The interesting thing is, all of these things here have nothing to do with ourself. They're all because of him. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. Well, that seems weird. And what agreement hath the temple of God? No, that's right. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This verse 17 is a very, very badly abused verse in religious circles, especially in the Mennonite circles. I've heard this over and over again. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate. They hinge a lot of their lifestyle on that one verse right there. Clothing, cars, the list goes on and on and on. What he's really talking about is be separate from what we talked last week, the people who are in the earthly rather than in the spiritual. Were you here last week, Brent, when Steve taught?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First is nature.
Do what?
First is nature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, which one was that? Temple of the Living God, is that what it was?
That would actually refer back to.
Mm-hmm. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Absolutely. When you're in Christ, you have the righteousness of God. That'll really flip people out, and I might close up with that one. I have redemption through his blood, Ephesians 1. You know, it's unbelievable when you don't understand. I would probably take any of the preachers on in the churches I come from, because I know how they run. They don't know the word. They have no idea. Everything is so tilted into the flesh part of it that they don't see the spiritual part of it. Ephesians 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, should I read verse 9 yet too, Brent?
I'm sorry. You totally made me think of something outside of here that I want to say later. But
okay. Write it down. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. We have redemption through his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. I am free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8. And this chapter, the first verse, chapter 8 verse 2, the first verse here is also very, very badly misused. When they think of the flesh, they literally think you need to clean it up. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They will literally tell you that you're not to walk after the flesh, and they're literally saying that you, the fleshly things you see, don't go after that stuff. What they don't understand is he's talking about people who try and save themselves over here in the earthly, like Steve said last week. You can't do it in that. It has to be after the Spirit. And when you're in the Spirit, there is no condemnation. I am a son and an heir of God through Christ. Does anybody know the status of an adopted person? Somewhere somebody said something that an adopted person actually has more... Is it more rights to the inheritance?
Can't be unadopted.
Right. Don't they actually have more rights to the inheritance than an actual son?
I've heard something like that. I think it was Steve that talked about
that. I'm thinking it was Steve that had talked about that once.
Something like because of a contractual agreement or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it was harder for them to be taken out of the rights.
Mm-hmm.
As if somebody
was there. Like your, yeah. You could actually take your own son out and the adopted son, you couldn't. So think about that as we are reading this verse, Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. Let's start at verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Well, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So that puts you up there with Christ's brother, right? If he's a son, we're also a son that would make us brothers. Mm-hmm. Romans 8 also has something to say about that. Romans 8:15. Talking a little bit more about adoption. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Pretty good stuff. Okay, I am not my own, for I am bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. What? Know you not? Okay, I'm thinking I wanted to read more. Actually, I don't want to get into that tonight. But I had a profound thought in verses 13 to 18, but that's a whole different Bible study. Verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I'm not far, but now made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 13. Verse 11 first. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Look at what we were and what we are now. If you're saved, that is. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. And this is something that my mother does not agree with. Said, Ephesians 4, verse 30. When your whole outlook in your supposedly saved life is about the flesh, no, you can't agree with this verse because it has to do with what you did. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. Are sealed. I like to take the demonstration when you take a vacuum packer and you pack it and you seal it. There's only one thing that can undo that, and that's a sharp knife or something sharp. If you think that you can poke your own seal and unseal yourself, you're actually thinking you're greater than God. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4. First, start at verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye are also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. It's not about us, but it's through Christ. I heard somebody recently say that if your testimony starts with the word I, you're not saved, and I highly disagree with that. Because I was lost. It's a good way to start it. Because unless you are lost, you find yourself lost, and it's hard to get saved. Colossians chapter 2. I am risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Colossians 2 verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. We are risen with him. When he rose, that means he left the sin part down there. I am to endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2, verse 3. Actually, verse 1 actually ties that verse very well. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, that thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. How are we strong? It's through the grace. Again, it's not about us. I'm to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Romans 16, verse 25. This is where I got my brain blank today. I couldn't go further beyond it for a while. 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Ephesians, turn to Ephesians 3, verse 9 on that. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things but Jesus Christ. So does that mean that if it's hitting God, does that mean anybody else knew about it? Not until it was revealed to Paul. So that means anything beyond in front of Paul, nobody knew about it. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He died for our sins. I am presented holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Colossians chapter 1. To be unblameable means there's nothing there. Nothing. Not even a speck. Colossians 1 verse 22. Let's start at verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in the earth, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. That's pretty good stuff. Unblameable. When something goes wrong, somebody gets a blame. Well, there's nothing I can be blamed about because it's all been taken care of. Love it. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. I love when I sneeze and somebody goes, "Bless you." Just tell them I got them all. Okay, Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. There it is again. We're holy without blame, and we have all spiritual blessings. I'm always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 11. Oh no, I'm going to start at verse 9. Sometimes these verses can kind of confuse a few people. Especially someone who just got saved sometimes trips up over these. Verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now if you would stop there, that could cause a little bit of problem. Now let's check verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Remember, it's not about our flesh, but it's about our spirit. Okay. Let's go to I'm to wait for Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. This is the day we're all waiting for. and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Some sweet day that's going to happen. Romans chapter 5 goes along with this one. Romans 5 verse 9. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Some people have a funny idea we're going to go through the tribulation, but it's not what this says. I'm confident that he which hath begun a good work in me will perform it. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1 verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of y'all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel ye are partakers of my grace. I'm saved by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2. These are probably the first verses I made sure I knew exactly where they were and had them very well memorized after I got saved. Ephesians 2 verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, it's like, I think it was E.C. Moore used to say, if I would have to lift one finger to get saved, I could go bragging throughout all eternity and say, I lifted a finger to get saved. It's nothing about us. Christ did it all. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Galatians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 20. For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I know this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 27. Let's start at verse 24. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto also I labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Very key verses that, number one thing is that Paul says he fulfilled the word of God. And it's in Christ that we have the hope of glory. Again, not anything about ourselves. I faint not, though my outward man perish, my inner man is renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I tell you, some days when stuff gets, you deal with people, you deal with the flesh, and some days you're like, ah. But this verse is just great. If my outward man perish, my inner man is renewed. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I think one of the biggest things that changed in my outlook in life when I got saved was just the frivolous stuff of life didn't near have the importance. Think about how many people, they need to make something of themselves. Like, they want to be this well-known person. You know, I don't really care. I have a far more glorious thing coming. This is just a little temporal thing that I got to deal with. I'm a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I bet nobody knows where that's from. 2 Timothy 2, verse 5, or 15. 2 Timothy 2, 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm a workman, or should be a workman, and that comes by study. And the previous one, to be renewed day by day, study. When something gets you down, something wants to try and tell you that no, it's not that way, get in the word, prove them wrong. You know, the times when, you know, Satan, you know, the Bible plainly talks about how it's the renewing of our mind. When I go back and see all the programs I have in my brain from 30-some years of cultism, there's a lot of things that, boing, will stick their little head up. And they're like, huh. But no, go back in the Bible. It's not that way. It kind of renews you. That's what he's talking about. Study. I'm looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Kind of a little bit what we did cover. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are we already there? We are. He hath raised us. That is so cool. Like I said, it's just temporal right here, right now. And you know what? 80 years really isn't that long. But man, a day can feel like 80 years sometimes. But just remember the hope we have. I am persuaded that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. Romans chapter 8. And you know, when you go through all that tough stuff, there ain't nothing can separate. And I don't care how many people try and tell you you're an idiot for what you believe, they can't separate you from that. It is completely out of man's control. And we can't even separate ourselves from him after we're saved. Romans 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, there's some pretty powerful stuff in those verses. Angels, principalities, powers, nothing can do it. It cannot happen. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 6. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye are obedient? That didn't work. I looked away. Where was I at? I thought I could jump up and look at something quick. Servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin or unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thankful that ye were the servants, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I just love the but nows in the Bible. Ye are complete in him, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2 verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. It's a done deal. It is done. Ye are complete. One more, and I don't have this one written down. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. I am as righteous as God himself. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's some pretty good stuff. You know, when you go up and tell a person, I'm as righteous as God, they flip out. That is bragging. That is all kinds of things. I guess it's what the Bible says. So I'm going to take it. Well, that's all I have. I think we have a lot of things to be thankful for, actually. When it gets tough, just get in the book.